research, he'd say, all hands off, need all the research money, and we didn't get any of the humanities.
That's right. I was looking to say that.
But it was interesting because I'd walk along the walks in on campus, and people would start to say, hello, Tracy, and then, is that Tracy? The same with him, Wendell, because we do look not that close, but close enough, people would mistake us.
They knew you were related.
Momentarily, anyway, they would mistake us. Now, I wish that this all had all, but just being his brother didn't get many research money.
Well, that's good. So what was, trying to gain a perspective, what was it like being his brother? Was it hard, or like you say, or was it easy? What were people saying about it? What was the?
Well,
was it it, or was it, maybe it was just fun?
We just, younger brothers looked up to Tracy, the first one, and a great example to the rest of us. And I was a little closer to him in the sense that I worked with him at jobs. He would get me jobs.
Oh, okay.
Most notably at Checkett's Photo. I was thinking of this morning because I read where Tracy, how exaggerated, he could become evil, I believe was his expression. No way. And I thought, oh yeah, Checkett's Photos, no doubt, behind this. He got me a job at Checkett's Photo in Ogden, and they weren't a bad bunch at heart, but they had every, it's amazing the pictures that would come through, and they would save the exciting of news, and you wouldn't believe it on private film, you know.
Okay.
They'd make copies that would be very illegal, but they had this whole collection of nudes and risque pictures, and I thought, hey, that's where Tracy's probably
that
influence of Checkett's Photo.
Okay, yeah, and Tracy indicates in some of his stories that's probably what he was indicating towards, is that it wasn't always the greatest place, and Checkett's and his crew weren't always the best.
Oh, does he mention that?
He does. In one of his stories, he does. So.
Yeah.
But not why. He didn't tell me why. So.
He tried to save my life because we were both working there at the same time. And my job was often to lift the negatives out of the developing fluid and put it in the, wash it first, and then put it in the fixing fluid.
Okay.
And I was doing that, and without thinking, I reached up to turn the light back on, and my hand had been in the fixing solution. I couldn't let go of that. I thought maybe my weight would make me slump to the ground, but Tracy came running in there.
So what happened there?
Well, Tracy, I was being electrocuted.
Okay.
And but Tracy dashed in there, and I guess just as he arrived, my weight pulled my grasp away from that switch. It was an overhead light. Brother, that was scary.
So he helped you get that job. Did you work there after he left that job, or?
Yes, he got me the job, and for a short time we were together, and then he, I guess, got a better job, I don't recall.
Oh, okay.
And I remained on with Checkett's until school started, I guess, again, mainly in the summertime.
Okay.
I remember Trace driving Checkett's old car. That's another thing, Tracy could drive a car. Not only that, he could drive Checkett's car. I don't remember the details now, but it was an old wreck, and he had to double shift it, or I don't know what all, to get that thing moving. Trace could do it.
So what were the? We've got a lot of pictures of. You're probably the most of them too, of where of hikes. And you guys were hiking up some of the canyons there in Ogden.
Yeah.
Did you go on? Can you tell me what the canyons? the names of the canyons and which ones you spent the most time in and what the destination was?
Well, the most popular canyons were Waterfall Canyon.
Okay.
Went up to the waterfall, and then we'd continue on up to the top of Mount Ogden from there. That's quite a long climb. And then the other one, forget what the canyon was called, but Leyland Heights was our destiny. It was to the north and Waterfall Canyon to the south of the Ogden area. So we'd go up this Leyland, I just call it Leyland Canyon. I don't know if that was its actual name. And it was really nice dirt path. Gradual and wound around. That was a nice one. Waterfall was rocky and precipitous. But eventually, you could go to the top of Mount Ogden from either one. So they were really popular. And the young folks, MIA groups, would often have outings, young men and young women. I remember how we enjoyed dousing the girls with water. I got to douse Merrill good. So it was a great place to grow up, that Ogden 18th Ward. Really outstanding bishop, Grant Lockman, I'm sure Tracy must mention him.
He does,
and
yes.
Nina Barnes, who is the director of the 18th Ward Male Chorus.
Okay, yeah.
Dorothy West, who was the pianist. That was sort of the greatest young men you could ever meet in that chorus.
So did you, but how much younger are you than Tracy? Or where are you at in the boys?
I'm right in the middle. Tracy, then Gene, Wendell, Donald, Delbert.
Okay.
I'm, let's see, that would make me about 3.5 years younger than Tracy.
Okay.
23 and he's 19, but his birthday October and mine April, so.
Okay.
Roughly 3, if I'm calculating it right, about 3.5 years.
All right, so then you were in the boys' chorus.
Yeah. Young men, we prefer to call it.
Okay, great.
But everybody called us the boys anyway. They got to sing for President McKay. I'm sure Tracy mentioned that.
Yeah.
It wasn't President McKay.
I believe it
must have been at that time, yeah.
And then did you join the, were you in the High Hatters with Tracy?
Don't I wish.
Or were those were competing
to Tracy was the only hall in there.
Okay,
it was
thanks.
Wayne Compton. The Comptons were great friends. I was about Merlin's age, and Tracy was Lane Compton's age. Our daughter lives in our old home in Provo, and Lane lives just across the fence from where we used to live.
In fact, I'm going to visit Lane on Monday.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the same type of...
We lived on 3015 Cherokee Lane, and that's just across from Lane's Apache.
Okay.
Anyway, so there was Tracy and who else were in the High Hatters? Tracy played the piano and Lane, I guess, played the trumpet. Prentice Agee lived just down the road from us. He and Trace were always in venues together, by the way. They were close friends. I remember they made a We call it a go-kart today. They just assembled a little, what's now a go-kart, from the gas engine, who knows where they found it, and some wheels.
Did they? Okay. That's one I haven't heard of yet. So
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, Tracy's mechanical ability way back then. And Prentice, they were quite close. Prentice was just four doors down from us on 30th Street.
What's Prentice's last name?
A-G-E-E.
A-G-E-E. Okay. Prentice A-G-E.
So, we ride that go-kart. Time or two. Oh, and Tracy's kite. I hope he mentions that.
He might not have.
I've got photos of that. other things. You'd be welcome to make coffee.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Tracy's man eating. If you're familiar at all with Ogden, 30th Street had a real steep hill.
Yeah, so that, like, you know that.
And later we lived on 27th, even steeper. But anyway, Tracy and Prentice made a big kite. And at that time, we were about the last house on 30th Street before you reached Monroe. The whole block between Madison and Monroe was vacant back then. Boy, if we bought some of that property then. Anyway, Tracy and Prentice took the kite up there and tried to fly the big thing running down the hill to get up enough momentum to make it fly, and about killed themselves because they just couldn't get up the speed.
Oh, okay.
Boy, the whole neighborhood would have to watch that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, I'm going to make sure this is actually working. Just one second. All right, where were we at? Okay. Were there some other early things that Tracy did, experiments, science stuff that you can say today, oh, yeah.
Oh,
that showed us that he was going to be.
And he didn't like his younger brother. I probably was the only one who would meddle. I recall way back on 30th Street, we had a basement, but just a dirt floor, not much to it. And one day I went down there and meddled with Tracy's crystal set radio that he had put together. He did not appreciate that, but anyway, I got to listen to radio using his little crystal set that he put together himself. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you'd get a crystal that was a needle connection, and you had to hit that crystal just right to make the connection for it to work. Yeah, that was a hobby back in the olden times.
They call them crystal sets?
Yeah. There's a little crystal, mineral crystal you can buy that would actually perform what do we call them today? Anyway, it would convert, I was about to say, digital. That was way beyond, I don't know. Anyway, it would pick up radio signals. In fact, the early radios all had those crystals as part of them.
Oh, okay.
I wish I'd kept our old radios, sell them on eBay today. But that was one of his first inventive activities that I can recall, that crystal radio set. And, of course, there was the Great Depression, and our dad, though a skilled locomotive driver and fireman also, was out of work. Great Depression, he couldn't get a job. And so we were quite poor. He'd work at WPA, if you've heard of that, Works Progress Administration, just digging ditches or whatever for a little support. And we had to scrimp at everything. My brother Don and I would go to the dairy on Ogden Avenue to get wholesale milk. We'd take a can along and bring back the can full of milk, things like that. Times were so tough. And in all that poverty, you could count on Trace to find some way at the junkyard or somewhere, the dump we called it back then, to get whatever he needed to put together his gadgets.
Oh, okay. Well, that reminds me. Do you remember an approximate year or how old Tracy might have been when he was messing with Prentice and the kite?
Probably have the date. Where's that? Merrill, where would our photo of that be? In one of the albums, black and white photos.
Well, I
could probably find it.
Yeah, I'll look up
there. Now, if you...
The photo album could give us a good indication of the date. But we lived on 30th Street. We moved from Marriott in 33.
You left Marriott?
Depression's still going strong, so...
Okay.
I was 10 years old when we moved. I hated the city. I was a country boy. We didn't know about sidewalks. This is the truth. We were walking down the middle of the road.
That's good.
We used to joke about that. We finally realized there were such things called sidewalks.
So what's the story behind you guys moving to Ogden? A couple places in Tracy's stories, he indicates it, but it's not really clear if your parents lost their farm.
Well, apparently they just couldn't keep up the payments. That's my impression.
Okay. All right.
They had hoped. My mother lived part of her life just east of 12th Street there where we lived.
Okay.
Near 12th Street.
Okay.
We lived... your familiar with Ogden 12th Street, Weber Myers there, I think, as I recall. Just straight west on 12th Street takes you to Marriott.
Yes, okay.
To the only paved road, the only partly paved back then. And we would go turn off to the right at Bingham's grocery store and the gasoline pump even. And then go past the Marriott's... Marriott Ward was right on the corner, practically, and then we'd pass the Marriott School and then turn left down our street toward the lake. So let's see, getting back to your question. So we moved to Ogden in 33, and Trace continued to attend briefly at Wilson Lane, where he'd been going to school, and I mentioned it there. He had to teach the algebra teacher the lesson on the way.
That's really good.
Yeah. Tracy was always so good at math. And, well, he influenced me. I wanted to be a chemist like Tracy, and so I took a lot of math and chemistry at Weber College. And would have continued on, no doubt, but then I... went on a mission to Argentina, and after that it was Spanish and languages for me and Hispanic culture. Did you find that?
Well, you'll have to look through, and those are the ones that
are old photos. Want me to take the time here?
Yeah, in fact, if we see a couple in there, I don't know if you'd mind or not. I typically take pretty good care of people's photo albums when they give them to me.
That'd be okay.
Okay, I did, I scan them. And
it's probably this other one. Let's see.
So you guys look like trolls. Or wait, what are those little creatures?
Yeah, those are trolls.
Are they the trolls? Yeah, cool. That's good.
They're all over the place. Some up above.
All over. Well, this is apparently mainly starting with my mission. So what would have to be in here?
If you've got any photos of you in the during wartime, too. I'd really be interested in those, too.
It's in card now.
Is there another album with others in?
I think it must be. Because this one's...
Well, let me go check again.
This one's mainly just you, Meryl, in your trips.
Oh, I must have drawn the wrong one then.
Yeah. Well, I wrote this up, and I don't recall if any photo of... Well, yeah, there's a photo myself, and I had this on the internet, and I made a copy for those. You're welcome to have that.
Great. Well, this is.
And then I just did this morning, thinking you might be interested.
Okay.
And I didn't have a comb binder big enough, so I broke it in two.
Okay, I see. Well, this is the same story. Okay. So this is a summary of what you did in World War II.
Right.
Where you were at.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. That's perfect for what we need. And we're going to have a nice section in this book. Talk about the service that you and your brothers did. Your experience. So.
I was actually the only one in combat. Tracy was in the Navy. And
yep.
Let's see. Went to Jamaica, as I recall. No, didn't see any naval action. And Gene was in the Navy, but spent practically the whole war in San Francisco.
Yes, that's what he told me.
And Donald was in the Army, but
he was
in London as a typist, so he was on the end of some bombing of London, but not directly involved with combat.
And he told me he met you one day in London.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's
he didn't know I was coming. I wrote him, but I was there before the letter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it shows that in there.
Oh, good.
The two of us. And it's right at the end. Yeah, there we are.
Din and Nin.
Yeah, Nin and Din, they called us.
Oh.
He was Dinny, and they didn't dare call me Ninny. I was just Nin. You get the point there?
I'm slow. How'd you get your nicknames?
Well, my theory is that Tracy, when he was about five and I was just a toddler, four or five, you know, the infantile vocal apparatus can't handle the W and the L. I happen to be a linguist.
I see.
W and L are very hard for foreigners as well as English-speaking children.
Okay.
Bilabial wu and lateral lu. They're real hard for kids.
Oh, I see.
Foreigners, man, you have to. I spend a lot of time teaching English as a second language in Chile, Argentina, and at BYU. And so Tracy couldn't handle the W and the L, so my theory is that I came out Nindo. Wendell, his first to Wendell was Nindo, which got shortened to Nin.
Okay.
No connection to nincompoop or or ninny.
I get it now. Okay.
Ninny comes from pequeño niño, little boy. Pequeño niño became ninny in English, a ninny with pejorative connotations. So I was Nin, and then Donald became Din. Nin and Din, we were virtual twins.
See, this is we still are. I don't know if there's another one.
Oh, this should have some in. But it's mainly of my generation. I don't see any of Tracy, although I know I've got photos of him somewhere. The brother Gene.
Oh, I do have those. I have those pictures somewhere, yeah. That's good.
There's the top of.
And I have that one too.
Top of Mount Ogden.
Great, I recognize
poses.
It. Okay. Cool, yeah.
But, like I say, this is mainly my generation. Thank you. 7th Street.
Oh, all right.
No luck.
Okay.
This one. I guess
yeah,
Tracy has lots of photos.
And he did say hello.
He'd have most that I think I have, probably.
Yeah, he did say hello. So
the kite episode, I didn't find the kite in here, okay. But I know we've got a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, well, I'll keep that in mind, and at least we'll have a record of it.
Yeah, it would be in... As I say, we moved to Ogden in 33. It would have been shortly after that. Tracy would have been, 14.
Okay.
So, he was probably only 14, 15 when Prentice and Trace put together their kite.
Oh, that's cool. There was a point when you guys lived in a tent.
Yes, but I was too young to remember it.
Oh, okay, you were a little too young.
Yeah, it was when my parents lived on Jefferson Avenue next to Lauren Farr Park.
So you lived on Jefferson, and then you moved to Marriott?
Yes.
Okay.
I see. Well, actually, I'm not sure that. Yeah, I believe that was their first home.
But
they just had the property to begin with, so they lived in a tent, so Dad could a house could.
Yeah. Okay. And I think he said it was an uncle that helped out a lot with that. One of your mom's brothers or something.
Uncle Helen Henry Tracy. Yeah.
Now, is he the one that has that nice missionary journal?
That's my grandfather.
Okay, all right. Your mom's
got Helen and Henry's in our family. My grandpa Hall was a Henry Hall, and then Henry Tracy.
Okay, so you were too young for the tent, but you remember the Marriott years. What else do we need?
Yeah, we call it Marriott.
Marriott.
But now I noticed our daughter Carolyn married in Marriott. Well, it was always just Marriott, always, forever. But then Bill made his fortune and went to Washington, D.C. I always say I'm the one who told Bill, when he got back from his mission to England, Bill, why don't you set up a little lemonade stand in Washington, D.C.? Yeah, fiction, of course. But anyway, it was Marriott that he went up in the world, and suddenly it's Marriott.
Oh, yeah, that's the motel.
Yeah, the Marriott's now.
So you had a daughter that married one of the
boys? Our daughter, Carolyn.
Yeah.
I noticed that was her last name. But
yeah. His grandfather is a cousin or something to the rich Mary house.
Oh, okay. And she lives up in Oregon, Washington?
Tacoma, Washington.
All right, okay.
She'll be here for our... Will she be here, Meryl, for the family reunion? I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
She'd better be.
Good.
We're going up to Altamont to a big cabin up there for 4 days.
Oh,
all right. We've always held our reunions here. I think it's more fun. We borrow a big inflatable slide, you know.
Oh, you do?
Put it here on the lawn.
So you got a lot of grandkids to
house
for our
50th
wedding anniversary, we went up to Yellowstone because that's where we went on our honeymoon.
Oh, okay.
So they made this that at that time, that quilt there with all But then after that, you started coming here, and everybody just wants to come here to Wallsburg for a big
pass.
Sure.
So that's
it's
probably
a good place.
But this year, we're going up to a big cabin.
So does somebody, do you have friends that have a cabin up there? Is it a rental? Or?
It's a
Bishop Turner, state president, counselor, that is.
Well, he's our state president now.
Yeah, he's president.
The
now,
Nelson
that's
family.
Right.
The Nelson family owned a
vacation resort.
No, what's the, they do taxes.
Oh, you know, the big tax company. Anyway, he's with them.
What is?
In other words, he's got money.
Okay.
His family owned this company.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called?
Oh, a Hewlett? That's really national, though.
No, it's,
It'll come to us anyway.
Oh, what?
We're going to his.
Anyway, that family owns a big cabin and will hold 100 people, and it's really nice.
Oh, that sounds
and
fun.
They furnish all of the volleyball, basketball, swimming pool, RVs.
Wow.
And everything, so.
Oh, that sounds fun.
We're going up there this
year. Where I grew up, we used to play Altamontan sports.
Oh, yeah?
Because they were small like my hometown. So, I had to play Altamont and Taviona. And Duchesne and Rich County. So all your kids are coming out. That's good.
We have the 6 children, 36 grandchildren, and 16 great-grandchildren now.
Well, we have 7. Little Alice died in infancy.
Oh. Oh, okay.
3 months old.
3 months old, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, was she sick?
Well, it was diagnosed as infant death syndrome. We noticed she wasn't breathing well, and we rushed her to the hospital.
She didn't do good.
That was terrible.
Oh.
And then her little, what would that be, her niece, died while we were in Argentina.
Oh.
And, our daughter Teresa's little baby, and they didn't have a cemetery plot. They didn't know what to do, and we'd already bought our plot with Alice in it, and so said, "Oh, just bury her by Alice." So the two little girls,
plot, and so two babies,
little girls are there together.
Oh, good.
So on Memorial Day, we visited them both at the same site. Now Joe's quite wealthy at the time. An impoverished student, so we were glad to help him out.
Oh, yes. So, cool. Well, you guys have, you must have a son-in-law that's pretty big in the gaming industry.
Sandy Peterson.
Yeah.
Let's see, his full name is, quick, tell me.
Sanford.
Oh, yeah, Sanford. Lincoln Grant, he's got several presidents in there. His kids are named after presidents. Anyway, Sandy, we call him for Sanford. Yeah, he's big in games.
And luckily,
they got paid in stock. When Microsoft was just starting up, Microsoft bought out their little game company. And so now he's quite wealthy.
you know, I ask because doing projects like this, I guess, as nice as we want to make them, they're not inexpensive.
I know.
You know, and so I ask just because I'm trying to run into people that, you know, that might have an interest, but also might have the means for it.
Yeah, try Sandy and try David Hall, Tracy's.
Yep,
what am I saying?
Yep, you're right.
Have David.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But that was so nice. The one that
so what do you need to write up as Merrill? Let's see, how can we finance that? Well, if Ida Rose gets word.
Yeah, you could start by writing your own story, if you haven't.
We've written up sketches of our lives.
Good.
I've got so much. I noticed Tracy has letters, and Ida Rose does. I have written so much in my lifetime. Letters from Argentina, letters from Spain, letters from you name it. Chile especially. I had the habit of writing once a week, so without fail. So I've got tons of letters.
When he was mission president in Argentina, he would write a letter home to the family every week.
Oh.
And so we had copies of all those letters that really could.
Oh, that's good.
Those
are keepsakes.
I had a degree of publicity for some reason in my life, so I have a whole loose leaf folder full of my life in the news.
Because he was in the 60s, he worked for the U.S. Information Agency as director of the
Chile
Center in Chile. And so he has a lot of photos and articles from that time in his life. All of our children grew up in Chile, so they all speak Spanish really well.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Well, that's a great start to a memoir, so, or whatever you want to call these books, to a legacy. all right, let's go to, so you say that this is a good summary of what you did in the war.
Yeah, I have it on the internet, but I printed that out.
Is this in Newspell?
So you could have a look.
Is this at newspell.org, or?
I started my website to promote English alphabet reform.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's called New Spell, which is N-E-W-S-P-E-L-L converted to New Spell. Spelling.
I wondered, okay.
Yeah. So I've just continued with the same website. I still try to promote English spelling reform, primarily through sales of my book called The Train Wheels Alphabet Book, which is entirely in New Spell. Well, it's in both. It's in Old Spell and New Spell. By entirely regular, I mean the sound most closely associated with each letter of the English alphabet is employed. For example, E is very seldom pronounced E. It's almost always pronounced E. So in my Training Wheels Alphabet book, only the sound E is used for E. The most common sound of A is not A, of course, but A, as in at. So in my Training Wheels Alphabet book, the letter A is always A.
Okay.
The letter S can be S or Z or Sh. Mission, right? So, but it's always S. And so on.
Oh, okay.
So, training wheels to keep you balanced so you won't stumble and fall. Help hold you up while you're learning. You have children?
I have one right now. We have another that's due any day.
But not a reading age yet, huh?
He does know the alphabet.
Yeah, because if I have a copy in print, I have it on the internet, but I could run you off a copy someday. It's just in comb-bound format, like those.
So it's accessible, too, on your website?
Yeah. Okay. Do you have the website?
Newspell.org. Yeah, I saw it on the internet.
At first I had the whole thing on the internet, but now I'm trying to sell it, so I only put a sample pages.
Oh, I see.
On the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Self-publishing is not easy. You really need to get some publisher to take it over. I got to start trying that, to do that again.
Have you looked at Lulu.com?
Yes, exactly. Right.
Easier, but still not.
Well, yeah, Lulu is just one of many.
Yeah.
I've tried several of them, but they require a lot of financing to do it for you. So I thought, well, maybe someday I'll pay to get it published, but it's not cheap to have them do it.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, it's cheap enough to get it printed, but it's the publicizing that counts. Unless it gets publicity and promotion, then
that's
no use printing it.
And that's a part of my business I'm going to try to have to get a better hold of. Because I think someday someone will want it, not just private books, but stuff that they might want to sell. Yeah. And so, boy. Yeah, I could use some lessons on that too.
Right.
Oh boy, because so far, just private gets, you know, they get your family and stuff. So. So does this have a summary of the battles and stuff you were in?
Mainly of just the first battle. I didn't want to go into gruesome bloody detail.
Okay.
So I described the first battle in which good buddy was killed right immediately almost. And I was only a few steps away. And after that, rather than recount it all, I just said, blah, blah, the number of casualties that our division suffered and let it go at that.
Okay, good. All right, good. Okay, well, so, were you surprised when Tracy did it, made the apparatus for man-made diamonds?
Not at all. I was thrilled, naturally.
There were a lot of experts that came before the pit.
Trace did it. And the interesting thing is, they didn't want to give him credit. How about that? Finally, luckily, the American scientist, what did they call it? Anyway, the American Scientist Association.
It might be the American, it might be the National Science Foundation, or
anyway, they insisted on giving Tracy credit, and they gave the proof of it for the world to know.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So had Tracy talked about this diamond thing previous? Was it something?
Where were we, Marilyn? We were abroad at the time. Really, Argentina?
1954.
Oh, wait a minute.
54, we were in a school in Michigan, University of Michigan.
No, we were, no, oh, now I know. I'd been studying at the University of Vienna, that was it. And when our boat arrived in Salt Lake, we headed for Schenectady. So we were among the first to see Tracy's diamond. So we knew about it, and we were excited to be able to stop off in Schenectady right after that on our way home. Oh, and our didn't Mom and Dad meet us in New York?
That was when you and Donald came home from your mission.
Oh, that's right.
They met, yeah.
Confusing events here.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to talk to Uncle Donald?
In fact, I already have.
Oh, because he's the one that has the
Donald. Oh, he's got his write-ups.
he knows.
Yeah, Donald's incredible.
Oh,
yeah,
and by the way, you are too.
I can't hold a candle to Donald, though. He's my memory. It's a fact. I call him Donald. Can you fill me in? And he does. he's younger, you understand.
Well, I find him this time very helpful. So. you ever remember Tracy before that saying, you know, I'm going to figure out how to make diamonds? Or I'm just wondering if it's something he thought about before he went to GE. Because if that's the case, he spent very little time on the problem.
No, I think it was at GE.
We weren't married at that time, so we didn't have.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it was GE that the thought occurred to him. Well, let's see. You've read his story, no doubt. GE sent him. GE was working on this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
they sent him to New York to get seed diamonds as a start.
Yeah.
And GE thought that they had done it, but no, it was a seed diamond that they were looking at. Spectrography proved that it was a seed diamond.
American scientists
pointed that out. It was a seed diamond, and it was not until Tracy developed. Oh, they had this huge, huge press. This is little belt did it. It's like a woman's heel, right? Not so much pressure, but applied to a tiny point. Ouch!
You're right. You're right. And Tracy, I guess Tracy covered that pretty well.
Yeah. So I think that's where, since GE was trying to do it, I think that's... I don't think he was thinking of it before that time.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
Right. Well, I've got a note. Some notes in here. Let me make sure we've covered everything. Do you remember Tracy said when he was young that the family would go to the library?
They'd walk to the Carnegie Library in Ogden, usually along the railroad tracks.
Okay. And he said he'd gravitate toward probably science books.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we'd follow along the railroad tracks, and it would end up on Wall Street, almost exactly at the point where Tracy and I did this too, we'd sell our muskrat pellets right there on Wall Street where we'd come along from the railroad tracks.
Okay.
He introduced me to muskrat trapping. Depression days, any little money we could scrape together was great.
So you trapped muskrats in that
mill stream, as it's called.
Okay.
The old mill stream bordered our farm, and there's kind of a slough there where the muskrats had to find habitat. So we set our traps right there.
That's an area.
So were all the brothers involved in that? Trapping the muskrats and stuff like that?
I think just Tracy and I, as I recall.
A long time ago.
Carp, too. We would fish for carp. Carp is a despised fish in the U.S., but it's a delicacy in Japan and elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we ate a lot of carp during the Depression. I remember they were so thick, I'd take a pitchfork and go through that slough and actually get them with a pitchfork.
Oh, wow. So you guys, that was a family meal.
That's right.
Pretty often.
Yeah. Oh. I remember my first fish I ever caught was a carp. I go running to Mom.
That's good. Now, did you raise any crops on your farm, or was this just have animals? Or
no, we only had a cow, and Dad would usually, there's a neighbor called Hanson just up the road from us. She was so sweet, she'd always stop me on the way home from school and give me a cookie, the nicest lady imaginable. Her husband had plows and a team of horses, and he'd come to our farm just down the road, and a piece, they used to say in the country, just down the road a piece, and he would plow most of the 5 acres that we had. little part of it was reserved for orchard.
Oh, okay. So what was in the orchard?
Apple trees, mainly.
Apples.
All I remember is apple trees, and there have been others.
And what was grown in the rest of the farm?
Well, I recall we picked beans on the farm, so string beans and corn.
Okay.
I think corn and string beans and peas were the main things we grew. But it was cultivated every year.
Did you,
and planted.
Did you guys ever sell any of this stuff?
Well, yes, we, there's a pea vinery just down the road from us. Horrible smell. So I recall that we sell peas to the vinery just down the road.
Oh, alright.
And sugar beets, I don't think we grew them very often. Although that was a big crop in Marriott. So we grew some sugar beets. That's one way I made money, was you had the thin beets and then you top the beets. So you'd have those two jobs each year while living out on the farm.
Okay.
There's a big sugar beet plant in Wilson Lane. And the stench of a sugar beet plant is even worse than pea vinery, as we call them.
Oh, that's good.
So, Tracy, no doubt, did his part of the work of planting the peas and the other beans and the other crops, the corn. I recall that on the little irrigation ditch ran right through our property and then parallel to the road and the house. And where it met the road, there's a great big willow tree. And my most thrilling experience was climbing to the top of that tree and swaying in the wind. Used to scare my mom to death. I could do that. Whenever the wind was blowing, you could find Windy, one of my nicknames, up in the tree. Windy became my nickname as a professor, probably. I can be Windy in several languages. I taught all my classes in the language. Incredibly, I had foreign language teachers, even at the University of Michigan. Our famous French teacher would all actually lecture in English.
Oh.
And occasionally quote in Spanish. But luckily, my two great, what great professors they were at the University of Michigan, Enrique Anderson Imbert, British father, French mother, Argentine through and through, born in Argentina, and Federico Sanchez Escribano, born in Spain and Castilian all the way through. So I had those two great teachers who, of course, lectured only in their native language. But one of my French teachers that used to annoy me so, I wondered, does this guy even really know French? I always lectured in Spanish and French and even in Italian. You're supposed to lecture in the language, simplifying it, of course, for the students.
What?
Italian was my most enjoyable language I ever taught. Since I'd only spent 2 weeks in Italy when I was a Fulbright student at the University of Vienna, Maryland, I took a trip down to Italy during spring break, and I took a course of Italian in the University of Vienna by a guy from the Tyrol. You know, they're bilingual, because the Tyrol's passed back and forth between Austria and Italy forever.
Okay, yeah. So
I had that great Tyrolean teacher who naturally lectured and spoke Italian perfectly. saw when some students at Hillfield, some employees at Hillfield and service people at Hillfield petitioned Weber College for a Italian class, and I was chairman of the department, the only one who knew any Italian at all. So we set up this evening school class for me, for them, and I walk in the class the first time, and there are all those real Italians. Whoa, how am I going to bluff my way through this? And only one of them knew any Italian at all.
Oh, okay.
And she'd catch me occasionally on pronunciation, and I'd say, yes, yes, but remember, you are from Venice, and we do not teach Veneziano, we teach Toscano. Tuscany is the, what would you say, the standard language of Italy. To this day, they speak their dialect, but they know the standard Toscano as well. So I'd say, no, no, very nice, but we're not teaching Veneziano. She knew I was bluffing, but anyway, she was the smartest young woman, too smart for me. Anyway, we got through the class by singing, O Sole Mio, Torna Sorrento. They loved singing, and that's how I taught it, mainly singing Italian songs.
So you know Italian?
I still know it fairly well. I can defend myself, as they say.
Those six languages, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, German,
Pig Latin. I mainly speak, I don't speak Portuguese well anymore because it's so close to Spanish.
Oh, okay.
How do you know? But I used to speak it better. I can still speak French pretty well. And German quite well because of the University of Vienna where I studied. Besides having
spoken German or French or Italian or something to me.
Okay. Keep up on it.
Then you had the Bible in every one of those languages too.
Yeah, I rotate reading a different language every Sunday.
Oh, that's how you keep
this
up.
This Sunday it's French, next Sunday it's German, next it's Italian, next it's Portuguese, and occasionally Spanish, but I know it so well that not a learning experience, but it's a great way. I recommend it to anyone to learn any language. Get the Bible because you already know the context, right? So you don't have to look up all the words. You know that it's blessed are the meek, and so you can. I've recommended that often.
Oh, yeah.
Learn to read Spanish, French, German, by the scriptures, the Bible, Book of Mormon, anything in a, that you already know in the language.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Well, I didn't talk enough about Tracy, I guess. But
well, I think we only diverged the last 5 minutes.
My idol, he really is.
I think they feel like he's still progressively getting, you know, closer to moving on. And I think no one would be surprised if it happened any day. In fact, we were thinking about by the time he finishes project, we'll have a. It'll probably be able to have a nice funeral section in it as well, of his book. But we're probably nine or 12 months out on this project. It's a pretty big one. So.
Well, the last time we went to see Tracy, he recognized me.
Did he?
Yeah, I gave him a hug and he hugged me back.
Good.
He never said anything though.
Good.
That was some months back, but he he obviously recognized me.
And I think
glad to see me.
I think he surprises some people now, because every once in a while he does recognize and remember.
It's like me, I have lucid moments, and I just often.
So.
Yeah, I thought Tracy looked nice. He looked good when we saw him.
Trace, we always called him Trace. Trace and Jean. Denny and Ben and Delbert never really did have a name the rest of us.
Delbert didn't, huh?
Nope.
Oh, that's funny.
Delbert's been quite successful. All of us one way or another. Donald has been the best teacher, world's best teacher, I think. Has anyone devoted more time to their profession than Donald? I don't know. In addition to being their yearbook advisor for the students.
Oh.
What a worker my brother Donald is. And Delbert's been in Virginia. He married a girl from there in the service, and so we don't see much of him, but he's been successful.
What does he do?
Delbert.
Or what did he do?
Works. He started out working at a bank. That's where he, I guess he's still in.
Well, see, he was a secretary. So in the Korean
War. Yeah, he was a secretary to a general in Korea. How about that?
So he was a
personal secretary to a general. Wow.
And then in Virginia, he belonged to the Virginia National Guard. And I guess he worked in the bank.
Well,
let's see.
We actually, I work in one of David's offices.
Oh.
He's letting us use some space while we start this up. We're about a year into our business, and so I'm grateful for his help, needless to say.
Delbert and his wife started up an ice cream business. So
the children,
they helped the children set it up, and apparently it's doing pretty well.
And all of their children are beautiful singers.
Yeah, boy, that younger brother, their family's got all the musical talent. It's a thrill when their two daughters were here singing to us.
The rapture. Some of their daughters and sons had a singing group, and they would go on these boats, these ships, and be the
entertainment.
Oh, nice.
For a while.
So that's fun. All right. Well, yeah, that's a beautiful book that you made there.
Oh, great. Great.
It is so
cool. That's impressive.
That's the kind of thing we're doing. So, in fact, I might send Sandy and Wendy a letter.
So, yeah, do that.
See if I can drum up some business from down in Texas.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, thanks very much.